This word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes, well, I'll get to that. I'll get it to later, the thought that I have. We're still talking about Joseph. Magnificent. I mean, it's just awesome, this man and what God did in his life. And we know the end result of his life. He became second in command of Egypt. I mean, can you imagine? Second in command. I mean, he wasn't an Egyptian at all. But we know the end result is that he became second in command. But he had to go through a lot of stuff to be there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we go through the scheme of reading the Bible, and we need to read it and get it in our spirits, and we look at the end result, and we say, praise God, but we don't realize the trauma and the things that this man went through, the horrors of his life. But how many times God told him that he was with him? I want you to, if you would, go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Thank you for praise and worship, y'all. That was, words cannot describe our Lord and in the Spirit of God that was in this, that's in this place. Praise God, people. Praise God. God is doing many mighty things around the world, but also he's doing mighty and great things in Gaydon, Kaplan, and all the surrounding areas, people. The power of God and his presence. He's making himself known to this world, to the people, to the people. In Genesis chapter 37, look at verse 18. It says this. And I know I kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but I need to say a little bit more about it. It says in verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now here we see the scenario. This is Joseph's brothers. They were taking care of their father's sheep in a faraway land. And Joseph had been commissioned by his father to go and to find out exactly what they were doing, and to bring his father Jacob, or Israel, his promised name, the covenant name, the report of what was going on. And so here we see Joseph is walking and finally finds them after walking or on a camel or some kind of ride, whatever, of approximately about 62 miles away from where he actually was. And they see their brother coming. And because of the hatred in their hearts towards their brother and what God had done in him and was giving him, and because God had chosen him to be the priest of that home. Now let me share with you a little bit about the priesthood. Back then they didn't have churches. That was the church. That was the church. These people there, right there, the brothers, their families, their father, Jacob, Israel, if you want to call them that. That was the church. And so, you know, the Spirit of God was moving upon Joseph, moving upon him. It says here that they, verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to kill him, to kill him. They looked at this man, or this boy, of about 17, he might have been about 19 now. They looked at him, and they saw him coming, and they conspired to kill him. Now, when he got to them, his brothers, the first thing they did was they yanked off, what? The coat of many colors, which that signified, and I'm going to get back to the priesthood. The priesthood. The priesthood back then was when Jacob or Israel, his promised covenant name, that's the same guy, that his father, would die, usually the priesthood and the one that would make the sacrifices to God and do all the priestly duties was usually the firstborn son. Well, God skipped him. And there's many reasons. And went to Joseph, which was the youngest at that time, because Benjamin came around later on. And so what was the nature of things that would happen was when Jacob would die, okay, Joseph would be the one that would become the priest to that family, okay? And he would offer up the sacrifices and do all the priestly duties. He was like the guy in between that would keep things hopefully okay between God and humanity. Okay, offering up the sacrifices to cover their sins, which represented what Jesus would do for us when he died upon the cross. And so he was in that lineage of being the priesthood. So here Joseph is walking, you know, or riding, whatever. And he comes and he sees his brothers. His brothers see him. And they say, we're going to kill him, this dreamer. They hated him so much. And the first thing they did when they saw him and they got together, they didn't hug him. It had been days and days and days since they've seen him. They didn't ask him how he was doing. They didn't ask him how their father was doing. The first thing they did when they got to him was they got to him and they yanked off that coat. And what they thought they were doing was, when they yanked it off, they thought they were taking the priesthood away from him. They thought that they were stripping him of the duties that God had appointed him to do and to be in. That's what man will try to do to God's people. Man will try to strip people of what God has given them. But let me tell you this, what God gives you and promises you, it's yours. When you got saved, good morning. It's good to see you, Kristen. Good to have you here. You look easy. I don't want you to fish. Amen. Good to have you here. See, next time you need to come in not with a bright orange shirt, coat. That's okay. I ask about him every week. Good to have you here, though. Good to have you. Good to see you. They thought when they stripped him of that coat, that they stripped him of what God had given him or man had given him in their minds. But when we got saved, and I mean when we got saved, and when we, you know, I'm not talking, you know, people, everybody's getting saved and there's no change in their life. They didn't get saved. That's far from it. Because let me tell you, I know with you and myself, when we got saved and change happened. We stopped all the foolishness. And God, now that doesn't mean we weren't messed up. We were all messed up. But God took a mess and made something okay with it, you know, and still making some good things out of us. But there was change in our lives. When we got saved, God came in and he now abides in us. And he's put certain things in us. We're all different. However gifts he wants to give us, that's up to him. See, when I got saved, I didn't realize at that time that God had put a pastor's heart in my life. I didn't know that. I was giving my heart, and I truly gave my heart to the Lord. I felt a change on the inside. I felt light. That's all I was Catholic. And so I didn't know what to say. You know, okay, yeah. I felt the burden. I was 15. How much sin can I do at 15, you know, from 0 to 15? Well, sin to with God is sin, no matter what, you know. But I felt a difference. But you see, God had put in my heart when I got saved to be a pastor. To be a pastor. to love his people, to instruct his people, to help his people, to put them on the right path and to pray for them and to help them to do what is right. You see? And if for some reason, if I walked out that door today and said, Father, I give it all up. I don't want it anymore. I don't want this thing anymore. That is it with me. And I turn my back, for example, turn my back to God. And I live a life that is not pleasing in God for the next 20 years. Well, no, I'm 50, so I can't go that long. 10 years. 60. Well, if I would turn 60 and I'd say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I turned my back. He would still bring me back to a place of pastoring. Now, the world might say, well, look what you did. You can't do that. But God would say, yes, you can. You see, even though David was a man after God's own heart, and he committed some awful sins, huh? Sin is sin, but you know, we as mankind, we weigh them. That's truth. But to sin will stop us from knowing God and being blessed. Just stops us. But sin is sin. That's why we need to ask forgiveness. So every time our heart is grieved about something, something happens and we know we've messed up, you get on your knees or you do something, you get with God and say, Father, forgive me. Keep things right. But if I turn my back and at 60 years of age, 10 years later, I turn and say, Lord, forgive me. He may not be here because this church will go on to the day he comes back and whenever. But God's still in me because he placed in me a pastor's heart. God would give me another church somewheres to pastor. Man thinks, well, then once you mess up, well, that's it. You can't ever do it again. That's not how God works. That's not how God works. His mercy and his grace upon us. Now, we shouldn't always look to always do mercy and grace and say, well, you know, I can do this and I know he'll forgive me. No. That's not how it works. Oh, no. We live a life of honesty and purity before God. But you see, that's how God works. That's how God works. You see, what God has put in you, you might feel is dormant and dead. And you say, but Pastor, God used to give me some words and now, you know, I kind of slid back and I'm not doing, you know, God used to use me in healing and now I've slid back and I'm not. God used to use me in giving me, you know, of a help spirit or whatever, all kinds of stuff. Teaching spirit or whatever it is. Look, it's there still. You may, and I may have taken off that coat, or somebody else may have taken it off of us, spiritually speaking, but God on his throne is still looking to you and I saying, it's still there. It's still there. It's still there. We may think it's dead and dormant and God can't do anything, but God is saying he can do it. He can raise us back up. He can raise you back up to do the things that he's called you to do, no matter what, people. No matter what. No matter what, he still is a God that can give hope to his people. He's still a God that brings help and hope and gives us a life to live in him. And here we see, they strip him of it. And they throw him down a well. And they sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now that's kind of rough. I don't think anybody's been sold out, huh? For 20 pieces of silver lately. Our Lord was sold for 30. Here we see. Now look at this. I want you to turn to Genesis 37. Look at verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat, talking about his brothers, because they stripped it off of him, and they sold him to Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph's gone now. but they still have the remnant of his coat. And they said, and he took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be your son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now here we see, look, people, let me just talk a little bit about something. When we lie about something, it's going to take another lie to cover it. Oh. They lied to their father. Now, you know what's interesting? Look at verse, and I want to read it again so you'll see it. Verse 32. And they sent the coat of many colors. They didn't have the audacity to bring it to their father themselves. Ooh, that's a knife. Cool. Here they took that that coat. They dipped it. They killed a sheep, goat, kids, whatever. Put the blood on it. And they gave it to one of their servants and said, and they told him what to say. Go to our father and ask them if this is Joseph's coat. They knew it was. The brothers couldn't go see their father, so they sent a servant to do their dirty work. Lying will destroy you and I. We need to be people that speak the truth, that are honest, that don't lie. We were all kids, huh, at one time. And we all lied, huh? We sure didn't tell the truth when we took the last cookie out that jar or did something horrible, you know. Or we drove the car and we weren't supposed to drive it, or we took something that wasn't ours. Or we went someplace and we told our parents we were at somewhere else and we were over there on the other side doing something that we shouldn't do. We all lied. We're all, you know what? We're all a bunch of liars. But we're saved by grace. Because you know what? We're a bunch of sinners. Saved by grace. Oh, but the blood that saves us. Oh, but the blood that washes us white as snow. See, that lying, and kids, you need to listen to this, that lying will get you in trouble. You might as well take the first punishment, because the second and third is detrimental. Yeah. We've learned that finally, but we're old enough, we're now we have kids of our own, so it kind of we, okay. Shouldn't lie, people. Don't lie. Don't lie on your taxes. I know it could be easy. And let me tell you, I don't agree with everything they do with our money at all. At all. But do what is right. Just do what is right. And when we do what is right, God will defend us. And God will go before us. Because you see, they couldn't even go to their father and say, look, we found the coat dipped in this blood. Is this Joseph's coat? They couldn't even do that. So they manipulated a plan, people. And it says that their father mourned. You have to understand why he mourned so much. Because God had told him Joseph was the one that the priesthood would go to. And now he's feeling, Lord, did I miss you? What's going to happen to the family? Will it be destroyed? Will God's kingdom be destroyed? I mean, he's mourning for his son, but he's mourning for the church too. The heaviness of it. Not knowing that truly his son is still alive in another land. In another land. And here we see from that time forward, Jacob or Israel lived a life of mourning for over 20 years, people. 20 years. 20 years. And it says that Joseph went to the other land to with the Ishmaelites, went, and he was sold as a slave. Now, can you imagine? You know, God had given him dreams. And we know the dreams. We talked about it last week. And yet he's sold as a slave. You know, we don't understand why things happen to us. We don't understand sometimes. Man, hey, look, I don't understand some things. Truly, I don't understand why Cindy's not here. I know our God heals. But God's wisdom is far beyond my wisdom. That still doesn't diminish my faith that God still heals his people. I know that. I know that. Without a shadow of a doubt. But here we see Joseph being brought to a place, another land. And still, the horror in his heart, his brother selling him, hating him. I wonder what they did with the money. I wonder. It doesn't say. I know Judas threw it, you know, and didn't take it, and they used it to buy a gravesite, whatever. But here we see he's in another land being sold, and Potiphar, by the hand of God, had Potiphar there, a very wealthy man, wealthy, and he comes and he buys Joseph, not realizing that he's buying, if you want to say it this way, the blessing of God that's upon his life. Because we can't buy the blessings of God. You can't buy it. If you're obedient, God will bless. But you can't buy anything from God. He's not for sale. Not for sale. And so here we see he's there in that land. Potiphar buys him. And it says in Genesis 39, 8 times that he was blessed by God, Joseph. 8 times blessed by God. Somehow in that vein of thought. Just in that one chapter, 8 times. Which represents resurrection. That God was restoring his life. God was doing a mighty work in him. See, we don't realize what God is doing in each and every one of us. The things that come our way. That he's helping us to be a better woman or man or child for the kingdom of God. That he had already knew that he was in a place, Joseph, second in command. Joseph didn't know that. He didn't know it. But he knew that God was with him. He knew that God was with him. He knew God was with him. And here we see, he's in Potiphar's house. The power of God is there. God is blessing that home. And every time God is moving, old Slewfoot is behind the door trying to defeat and destroy people. We know that. We know that. And here we see Potiphar's wife. In other books, if you read it, they name her. And they say she was a very virtuous woman. But when she saw sight of Joseph, because of the presence of God upon him, he was a very, very handsome man. And all she wanted him. Now let me get kind of in that a little bit, people. Look. In this day and age, as men and women of God, we need to live lives of purity before our God. People. You know, used to, all you had, you'd speak to men, but nowadays, it's not like that anymore. Women are just as messed up as men now without God. And people, it's a sin to live together. That's truth, huh? It is. It's wrong. It's not right. And you might say, well, what do I do? You ask God to forgive you and you get things right. Get married, you know, or do what's right. Do what's right, because it messes up something here. You know, to live a life like that, it's not good. Now, you know, you might say, fornication is wrong, people. Adultery is wrong. All those things are wrong. Sleeping around and you're not married, or you're not married to the one you're sleeping with, it's wrong. Look, oh, yeah. That's right. It's wrong, people. I'm not trying to. But people, the church has to stand for something, because if it doesn't, it will fall for anything. Amen. There has to be a standard. There has to. Now, you know, with the new covenant, you know, we had the old covenant, the law. The new covenant says if you look at somebody and lust after them in a way that's not correct, you know what I'm getting at? That it's sin, like you would have gone with them. And I'm trying to keep things a little light here, okay? But people, we got to live lives that are correct. Now you might say, well, Pastor, it's hard. That's why we need faith in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross. Because the devil's out there trying to divert you and I into directions that's contrary to the Word of God. But as we get up and we put our faith in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross every day, say, Lord, I put my faith in you and what you've done. He, when the enemy has the okay from God to do what he needs to do to us, that God makes a way out. The Holy Spirit is leashed out from heaven upon the earth to help us to overcome those things that we need to overcome to live a life of purity before God. Joseph stood for what? Look, she went, and look, if you read the scriptures, it wasn't just one time she went and tempted him. She repeatedly did it day after day, probably more than once a day. Constant temptation. And he says in scripture, you can read in chapter 39, he said, I will not go against my master Potiphar and defile him. And I will not go against my master's wife, her, and defile her. And last but surely the greatest, I fear God. And I will not sin against him. People, we need to watch and be careful what we look on TV. TV's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with it. Computers are great. We use them here. We have a TV here. We have computers, cameras. All those technologies are good. Nothing wrong with it. But it has to be used in the right way. We got to stay away from those things that will destroy us. Because what the devil is trying to do is destroy you from the inside. Your core being of destruction. And she tempted him day after day. Come and sleep with me. And he said, no, no, would run out that house. You might say, well, why didn't Joseph just get out of there and stay out? Because he was in control of all of his master's stuff. All of it. So he had to go in that home and take care of things. And she devised a plan. And let me tell you, the devil will devise a plan to destroy you and I if he can. And he will do everything he can to devise that plan. But let me tell you, God will make a way where there seems to be no way to get us out of it. Because sometimes we don't know. I mean, you're walking in, you're doing this, and you don't realize what may come up. No one here is ugly. You might say, oh, Lord. No one here is an ugly person. We're all made in the image of God, you know, beautiful people. Beautiful, made in the image of our God. But old Slewfoot will do everything he can to destroy us in every capacity that he can. And so we got to make sure that we don't fall into those traps, people. If you're married, you're to be faithful to your wife or faithful to your spouse, your husband, your wife, whatever, okay? If you are not married, you're not supposed to dabble in any of that stuff at all, people. At all. It's not right. It's not right. And let me tell you, Joseph, if you read, you can read in that in the commentary, that old Potiphar's wife, she called in a bunch of ladies to come to her house to show off Joseph how handsome he was. And let me tell you, some serious business here. But he stood for what was right. And we know the story. He went in that one time. And she made her advances at him. Huh? And he said no. Because he feared God. He honored his master, earthly master, Potiphar. And he even honored his wife, Potiphar's wife. And it says that he ran out of there and part of his clothing was left there. And she starts hollering, saying that what he tried to do to her. And it wasn't truth. And he was arrested and thrown into prison. It's an amazing thing, huh? The coat that God gave him from his father wound it up with blood upon it. And his other coat landed him in prison. We don't know the things that we may have to go through and where we may have to land up. But God was preparing Joseph for the end. And I'm going to stop there. Next week we'll pick it up and finish. All righty? Praise God. Praise God. Go to Genesis chapter 39 and 40. Read it this week. Read that word. Get it in your spirit. And read those chapters and see the end of what's going to happen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would everyone just please bow your head for just a minute? Amen. You know, I don't know where you stand with your walk with the Lord.